Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as promised, our special guest is our friend Grace Marie Arnett. She's the president of the Galen Institute. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. The Galen Institute itself, the Galen Institute promotes public education and on health and tax policy issues. Grace Marie speaks and writes extensively on health policy issues, focusing on the impact of tax policy and incentives to promote a better functioning healthcare market. And she previously was a senior political policy advisor to presidential candidate Steve Forbes. She was vice president for information marketing at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. For 12 years, she was president of Arnett and Company, a health policy analysis and communications firm in Washington, D.C. She was also press secretary to Senator Preet Dominici and Deputy Press Secretary to President Ford's campaign and a media advisor to the Republican National Committee. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be with you, Jim.
Thank you. It's always good to have you with us. And we haven't visited for a while, and that's my fault. I wanted to get you back on. Should have gotten you, I should say, on earlier than this, but I think it's been about 6 months or so since you've been with us.
And a lot has happened in that time, too. I think that we, for such a long time, people who believe in free markets and the power of competition have really been on the defensive,
yes,
especially in the healthcare system.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's some things that are starting to change right now that not only could benefit small business, but that really move things in what I believe are the right direction, rather than more and more government control of the system to more and more individual control, putting it in the hands of the consumers in the marketplace.
If you asked the average, if you ask 100 Americans, and you, I'm sure you have these numbers, but if you ask 100 Americans what are the top three most important issues that they are concerned with right now, one of those three would have to be healthcare, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And we met last week with some top officials with the National Federation of Independent Business.
Yes.
And they said healthcare continues to be at the top of their concern, and it's a serious problem. Government, both at the state and federal level, have been absolutely going in the wrong direction for most of this decade, and before that, in their efforts to try to solve it. And yet, small business and people going out to start their own business and people figuring out how to live by their wits, as you say, are really structurally disadvantaged under the current system.
Well, they are, and they're discriminated against. They're
absolutely
not just disadvantaged, they're literally,
exactly,
they're literally intentionally,
exactly,
and I say intentionally because somebody made the laws that do discriminate against small business owners. If you are a sole proprietor, if you're a partnership, if you are a subchapter S corporation or an LLC, you do not have the same rights under the tax laws as a C corporation or larger corporations have with regard to being able to deduct your health care expense, your health care insurance expenses.
Exactly right. And not only that, you have the double challenges of having a very dysfunctional market for individuals and small businesses to purchase health insurance,
right,
which makes it even more expensive than large companies, which can essentially sell the commodity of a large group.
And that's exactly right. And the other thing is that you're, because you are, you know, one or two or three or four or ten or whatever, a small group of people in your company, you just cannot afford many times to pay the high premiums that your little bitty group would have. And here's the thing, Grace Marie, that makes no sense to me at all. Think about this statistic. In this decade, for a period of at least 5 years, from like 92 to 97, there were 12 million net new jobs created. Now, if you also understand that during that same period, about a half a million jobs were lost, net loss in the major corporation area, then you know that the only place those 12 million new jobs could have come from small business.
That's exactly right.
And they are, small business owners are why this country is doing what it's doing right now, and yet we can't seem to get our government, and I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats, folks. I'm not just talking about President Clinton and the Democrats in the Congress. I'm talking about both of them are not really paying attention to the people who are driving this economy.
That's exactly right. And there is the antiquated tax code ties health insurance to the likelihood that you're going to work for one large company for most of your career. And we have a totally different economy, and we have fix structurally the tax system so that it puts everybody on an even playing field. So whether you're working for Ford or General Motors, or whether you're starting your own business, there's no reason the tax code should treat you differently from your purchase of health insurance, and it does now in very major ways.
Well, think about this now. If we've had a net loss of 500,000 jobs in large businesses, but yet we've gained 12 million new jobs, and as you know, unemployment is like a 30-year low. Those people are working somewhere. They're working for small businesses. There's no question about that. Now, that tells me, well, and then you go back one more step and realize that working for a major corporation is pretty much a 20th century invention.
That's right.
100 years ago, 150 years ago, in the last century, people primarily worked for themselves or for small businesses because there weren't that many major corporations. The major corporation thing is basically a 20th century invention, and if you realize what's happened in this decade and you look at where the jobs are going to be and where the productivity is going to come from in the next century, that tells you that in the 21st century, I think, more and more and more of us are going to be working for small businesses, including just working for ourselves.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what there is, believe it or not, some hope on the horizon. There are a number of members of Congress and a number of organizations that are looking at the idea of encouraging individual ownership, private ownership of health insurance, not locked to a big employer,
mm-hmm.
through tax credits directed to individuals for the purchase of their own health insurance. In an economy that has been growing, we have rising numbers of uninsured, and we need to begin to do something to get those numbers down.
Grace Marie, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the idea of these tax credits, folks, and what the chances are in just a few minutes. 20 after the hour, our phone number is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about all this. We'll be right back. For years and years and years, big corporations were able to deduct 100% of the money that they spent providing health care for their employees. It was a great benefit, and they were able to do that, and it basically cost them, you know, little or nothing because of the ability to deduct that. You and I, small business owners, on the other hand, until the last very few years, were able to deduct zip, nada, nothing, zilch, of that expense, that health care expense, that health care insurance expense. But as we know, there have been some changes made in Congress, and we are now able to deduct that. And the lady who's here to talk to us about all that and where all this is going is Grace Marie Arnett. She's the president of the Gannett Institute out of Washington, D.C. And Grace Marie, what is it now? Up to about 50%?
It's scheduled to rise, but the deduction for the self-employed is scheduled to rise to 100% by the year 2003, although there are some initiatives in Congress to accelerate that, to make it happen sooner.
And there's precedent for that acceleration because it originally started, of course, it was originally nothing,
right.
And then it went to 2007, and then they accelerated that 2003. So there is precedent and therefore hope, isn't there?
Hope, but even that's really not enough for a lot of people, and we're not going to really be able to move the numbers of uninsured. In the strongest economy that we have had consistent economy in a generation, that we still have a rising number of uninsured is testimony exactly to the point that you were making, Jim, that we have a booming economy, more and more jobs being created in a technologically and information-based economy, and this tax structures for health insurance are based on the industrial age,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to modernize our tax laws. I was, as you also know, I was executive director of the Kemp Commission, the Tax Reform Commission, that did some work several years ago on how to modernize our and simplify our tax laws. And there's just a real sense that a lot of the same provisions that we put in that report are really still very relevant today to get control back in the hands of individuals, to talk about visibility in the tax code so people understand and not have the same dollar either taxed multiple times or forgiven from taxation multiple times. Right now, not only do big employers deduct their health insurance costs, but on the employee side, the amount of money they're deducting is also excluded from the employee's income. So it's a double tax break. And yet people who are trying to buy their own health insurance are hit from both sides. They have to pay the money out, and they also get to deduct only a fraction of that.
Right.
So we're talking about a new system of tax credits, which would be much more generous and actually forgive a lot more of the money that people are spending for health insurance. Congressman Dick Armey, the majority leader of the House, is actually spearheading an effort to introduce tax credits for health insurance. And that's a big deal because he's Mr. Flat Tax. And he understands that if we're going to move these numbers, we've got to do something much more aggressive, like a tax credit of maybe $800 to $1,000 for everybody who buys their own health insurance, up to maybe as much as $2,500 tax credit for a family, which is really a big deal.
That is a big deal, especially for someone, as you say, who's Mr. Flat Tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. 888-822-8255. Folks, that's the phone number to call if you'd like to ask Grace Marie a question, if you'd like to make a comment, if you'd like to tell us your story. I'd like to know, if you can, call us and talk to us about what you're going through in your small business to try to provide health care for yourself and for your family and for your employees. And it is tough, not only because of the price of the insurance that you get and the trade-offs that you have to go through to maybe lower the coverage so that you can afford some kind of coverage and hold the premiums down, but also not being able to deduct any more of it than you can. You were talking, Grace Marie, about Congressman Armey. Are there other leaders who are going to get on board with this thing?
You know, it is really surprising to me, but the very liberal Jim McDermott, congressman from Washington State, who believes in a single-payer government-run system, says, well, I don't think we're going to get there, and he thinks tax credits are a good idea, and he's going to introduce legislation he's introducing.
If it's bipartisan, maybe it'll
work. Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are saying more government programs are really not on the agenda.
Exactly. Let's return all this to the marketplace and get some help through some vouchers. And folks, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to get Grace Marie to flesh out this issue of vouchers and tax credits for you and your small business so you can afford the kind of health care that you need and so you can compete in the marketplace for those employees that you need. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie Arnett is our special guest. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Grace Marie Arnett. She is the president of the Galen Institute, G-A-L-E-N Institute. Earlier in the hour, I realized that I said another name. I said something like Gannett or something like that. That was my fault. That was dumb of me. The name, I know it because I'm looking right at it, is the Galen Institute, and there is a website that Grace Marie has. Again, Grace Marie, give us the website.
It's www.galen.org.
O-R-G.
I invite people to come take a look.
And what would they find when they get to your website?
They'll find policy papers. They'll find some of the research that we've done. They'll find a lot of other initiatives that we have underway to try to increase individual ownership of health insurance and to try to change the tax laws so that we can modernize them to really fit with an information-based economy, a technology-based economy.
Right. All right, good. Thank you very much for that. And folks, I'd recommend you check that out. And if you need to, we have a link. Or if we don't, I think we already have, but if we don't, we will have this week
that'd
a link to your website, Grace Marie. Let's get back into the tax credits and voucher issue. There are small business owners all over this country, Grace Marie, who are literally sitting at their desk saying, how in the world am I going to keep my employees because they're being pulled away by companies who are offering benefits and that I can't offer. I just can't afford to. And if I meet what they're offering, I won't make a profit this year. I won't be able to grow my business. I could possibly go out of business.
That's exactly right. And at the same time, there's probably some employee working at some job they hate for a big company who'd love to come work for a small business, but they don't leave because they don't want to lose their health insurance.
How many times have I heard people say,
so true,
I wish if I just had the benefits. How many times do people take a job just for the benefits?
It's awful. It's terrible. It traps people, and that is a way in which the tax code is directing people's lives in a way that I think is unconscionable.
Now,
and if we had a system, and this is what Dick Armey wants to do, he wants to say, if you purchase your own health insurance, and they're still developing the legislation, so we'll talk about income thresholds and how much you spend and all that, but conceptually, if you purchase your own health insurance and you can document that you had health insurance in the year 2000, because it would start next year, and you spent $3,000 on your health insurance for you and your family, you could get not a bad policy if we had different ways that people could group themselves into larger groups for $3,000. May not cover everything, but certainly you know you're covered in the case of major illness or major accident.
Right.
Then you write off. You would take a tax credit against your taxes of $2,500, depending on for a family of four, against that $3,000 health insurance policy. So that health insurance policy would have only cost you out of pocket $500 instead of the $3,000
that
it does now, minus the paltry deduction that they give you.
Well, and here's the other thing that does. That puts everything back into the marketplace. It allows you to go directly to the marketplace for your services, not only your insurance services, but also your medical services.
Right.
The actual service, you get to choose the people. The plan that you're talking about is where everyone gets to choose the doctor they want, the hospital they want, and it becomes part of the marketplace, which is where the overall salvation, in my opinion, of so many problems that we have lies.
Absolutely true. And right now, the only big pooling mechanisms available are either through the government, if you've got Medicare or Medicaid, or through the employer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we think is if individuals were getting a tax credit directly to them for the purchase of health insurance, a whole lot of new organizations would decide to offer health insurance. Your professional association, the Association of Home-Based Businesses, might offer a health insurance plan, and it goes to negotiate, so you don't have to do that.
Right. Chambers of Commerce.
Negotiate within big insurers, church groups, professional associations, other professional associations, labor unions. I think you'd find a lot of different ways that people could take those dollars and say, this is the plan I want, and then they're not locked at the workplace, and they don't lose it if they lose or change jobs or start a new business.
Now, one thing that's actually going on right now, Grace Marie, is what you just said is actually happening. A part of what you said is actually happening, and that is that for example, right now, sometimes small business owners can buy health care through their Chamber of Commerce. Or as you say, they can buy it through their organization, but the difference is that they may not be able to afford anything.
It's the after-tax dollar problem.
That's exactly right.
And if we both had new ways that people could organize themselves, and we've got to find a way to get around all this incredible barrage, avalanche of state regulations and state mandates that are making health insurance so expensive. One in four people don't have health insurance are uninsured because of the cost of state mandates, according to the Health Insurance Association of America. So we've got to find ways that people can organize themselves into groups to purchase the insurance that they want rather than what politicians say they should have, just as big businesses do. Big businesses don't have to comply with all these state rules and regulations.
Right.
And small businesses shouldn't either.
Absolutely. All right, Grace Marie, thank you for that. And folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about who the uninsured are. What's the size of that group, and what's the breakdown of that group? Grace Murray is an expert in that issue, in that area. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on in your life as far as healthcare is concerned. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Grace Marie Arnett. She's the president of the Galen Institute, which is an organization that focuses on healthcare policy issues as well as tax policy issues, and Grace Marie is an expert in these areas. She is often, you can often find her, what she's written in various publications. She was recently quoted, as I remember, Grace Marie, in, was it the New York Times last week?
Yeah, last week on the front page of the New York Times.
Congratulations. Above the fold or below the fold?
Above the fold.
All right.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I hope they had your lovely picture in there, too.
No. The article was about the dramatic rise in the number of uninsured. And when we had the huge health care debate in 1993-94 with Hillary Care.
Yeah, I'll call that more of a debacle than
debacle,
a debate.
Debacle, yes. Yeah. We had 35 million uninsured, and everybody said this was a terrible crisis. Well, we now have 44 million uninsured.
Hmm.
That number has been rising by more than a million a year.
Well, you know why, don't you?
Absolutely.
I have my idea, but you tell us why.
You tell me.
Well, my thought on it is that something that happened concurrently with all that is that more and more people lost their jobs from big companies. They were downsized, right-sized, laid off, fired, canned, sacked, whatever you want to call it. They lost their job, and therefore they lost their health care, and they're now working for themselves as a contractor or a small business person, and they can't afford their own health care insurance.
That's exactly right.
And am I right?
You are right.
Good.
And the people who are going without health insurance often are those who are 18 to 35. They're young, they're healthy, you know, I don't need health care. I'd rather feed my family.
But now they've chosen not to have health care.
Some of them have. In fact, an increasing number of people who work often for the smaller companies who need to ask their employees to pay a larger part of the health insurance premium, those employees are saying, I can't afford it, and they're not taking the health insurance that's offered by their employers because their co-payments are so high,
right,
and because they have to pay all of it with after-tax dollars. So if you had a tax credit that came directly to that person, they'd be more likely to purchase health insurance through whatever mechanism
mm-hmm.
that's offered, including
mm-hmm.
small employers. Small employers might be able to pay a smaller part of the premium if they decide that they want to offer health insurance. So there are a whole lot of ways that that people could begin to get health insurance and begin to reverse those numbers. But the young, the healthy, the people who should be in those insurance pools because they drive down the costs for other people are saying, I'm going to take my chances. And what happens if they do get sick? They wind up being taken care of in public facilities,
right,
public hospitals, and it's paid for through by the taxpayer.
Guess what else happens? And this is something else that's happening concurrently with all this, folks. They run up a bill, and there's nothing they can do about it. They need to get the child well. There's no question about that. But they run up a bill at the local hospital, at the doctor's offices, and maybe they got thousands of dollars in bills. And when they can't pay them, they take bankruptcy. And bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, is at record proportions right now. And so if I agree with you, Grace Marie, if we can get some of this done, these vouchers, if we can get some kind of tax credits for individuals and small businesses to be able to provide this, there's so many things that this would, so many problems that this would solve. And I want to keep reminding everybody that this gets the solution back in where it belongs, which is in the marketplace.
And in the hands of consumers and individuals so they make their own choices. And then I think we'd see much less pressure for the idiotic legislation that Congress is considering right now, this Patient's Bill of Rights,
right,
which is going to allow anybody, your money's going to be going, instead of to health care and health administrators, it's going to be going to lawyers. Is that going to help anybody get better? No.
Right.
But that's the solution. They're saying, okay, well, people need to be able to take their health insurance companies and their HMOs to court if they mm-hmm. don't like the care they've gotten or the way they've been treated. They should be able to take the dollars and go to another health plan and say, I don't like this the way I've been treated here.
Right.
Vote with your feet like you do in the other sectors of the economy.
Right. That's Parker, right?
Yes.
Parker.
The patients, I don't know, it's some acronym.
Right.
Jim Norwood has been the primary sponsor of that, and also President Clinton and all the liberals Senator Kennedy and others.
Now, the liberals, folks, want... They would agree with a lot. You realize, Grace Marie, that they would agree with a lot of the things that you and I are saying.
Absolutely.
Many of the things that we're saying are liberal issues, folks. But their solution is a single payer program, and that single payer is the government.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And our solution, what Grace Marie and I believe, and I'd like to think that you believe, if you're a small business owner, is that you would rather be able to pay for and choose your own coverage, your own care.
And I think we're going to get, Jim, to a point in this country where we really have a very polarized debate. You're going to have people who believe in some sort of utopian society that if government takes over the healthcare system, everybody's going to get all the care they want,
right.
and it's going to cost nobody anything, and we're going to live in this utopia heaven.
Right.
Or we're going to wind up with a good, competitive, vibrant marketplace in which people are going out there and companies are competing for their business to offer the best product at the cheapest price. The same mechanism works in every other sector of the economy. Somehow or another, the liberals think that we can isolate the healthcare sector, put that in a bubble, and have it work under a whole different set of rules that I don't believe are going to work.
Well said, Grace Marie. Stand by. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 50 after. When we come back, we're going to get Grace Marie to tell us what's the next thing that's going to happen that we can make a difference in ourselves. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Grace Marie Arnett. She is the president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, give us your website again, please.
It's www.galen.org. And the featured article on our site right now is an article that I've written about all of these initiatives going on in Congress right now concerning tax credits for health insurance. So I invite people who are interested in that to take a look to see the details of these proposals and who else is talking about them.
Good.
This is going to be something that I hope will be on Congress's agenda. It's not going to be a first order issue because they've got to deal with all these patients' Bill of Rights problems first. But it's bound to come up, I think, probably later in this Congress. And what I would encourage our listeners to do is to do everything you can to convince your member of Congress. Write letters, do phone calls, go to the events when they're...
Send them email.
When they're speaking, send them email. Tell them that you don't think the patient's Bill of Rights is a good idea because that is going to do nothing but increase the cost of health insurance, especially for people trying to buy it on their own, like small business people.
And folks, the acronym is PARCA. That's what it's called a lot. Patient's Bill of Rights is called PARCA. But wait a minute. Grace Marie, patient's Bill of Rights, that sounds perfect.
That sounds
exactly like what I want.
Exactly.
Please
sounds
give me,
about as good as the Health Security Act. Which
please
is
give me some patient's rights. I love that.
So, you know, they come up with these great terms, but boy, the devil is in the details, and I'm telling you, I've read these bills, and they're nothing but trouble.
Tell us the two or three most important, most visible elements of the patient Bill of Rights.
The ability of people to sue not only their health plans but their employers if they don't like the health insurance, the health care that they've been given.
That's a loser.
Would they feel about that?
Yeah.
They would dramatically wind up increasing the cost of health insurance by allowing people to say that they can go to, certainly people should be able to go in emergency rooms when they're sick, but they're going to wind up with emergency rooms completely gridlocked with people who are saying, well, I don't want to take the trouble to go to make a doctor's appointment. I can go to the emergency room and it'll cost me the same amount of money.
Right.
So it's going to really, really foul up the healthcare system.
Another thing is that you cannot be turned down for insurance. I've forgotten exactly
how to
say
that. Well, that's actually in place right now. That's the Kennedy-Cassebaum law. If you can wait till you're sick under
That's not a law right now, is it?
There's a guaranteed issue provision, a guaranteed renewal provision in many states, and if you jump through the hoops right in the Kennedy-Cassebaum law. So we're already down that road, and we need to not go any further.
That's exactly right. And folks, that's where if you hire somebody who has a family member who is seriously ill, then your insurance coverage, and I'm sorry about that, it's just that your insurance company would have to cover them, wouldn't they?
The problem with it is it's like buying fire insurance when your house, like buying homeowner's insurance when your house is on
yes.
fire.
Yeah.
This is not
waiting.
The time to buy health insurance.
Yeah.
When you're sick, or the time to buy homeowner's insurance. You buy it over the long term in case of emergencies, and you have that protection all the time. This legislation completely turns the concept of insurance on its head.
And it's the opposite.
You only buy it when you need it.
It's the opposite of competition. It's the opposite of market solutions. Grace Marie, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. You've done a great job. I'm looking forward to having you back on this year to talk to us more about this.
Thank you so much, Jim. You're just terrific, and congratulations for all the wonderful things you do for this industry.
Thank you, ma'am. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, folks,
got
to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.